Bathhouse Ballads, April the 29th, 2011. Epic helped kill the Korean experience. Here's the problem. You've lived in Korea 3 months and you think you know all about it. Now that you've got used to being stared at, know the difference between makgeolli and soju, think you have an understanding of the Korean psyche and culture, and have possibly been initiated by the annual Waegogin pilgrimage to the boring Boryeong Mud Festival, Korea has suddenly become mundane, ordinary, and predictable. I know the feeling. There are numerous things which can possibly terminate one's Korean experience, or at least quickly lead to the honeymoon being over. These include the internet, English-speaking Westerners, and one's ability to read and speak Korean. If you want to preserve that feeling of amazement you experienced during your initial weeks in Korea, you have to avoid taking any interest in learning to speak, read or write Korean, and while you can use computers to play games and download music, you must shun search engines and any blog related to Korea. Avoiding foreigners, or at least limiting how many you know, is crucial, but relatively easy, as most are too busy pretending they've been in Korea for the last 20 years, and are adept at blanking you, even if you are sat right under their very noses. The famous Chicago school sociologist, Robert Park, used to advise his students to go out and get the seats of their pants dirty. And not too long ago, that was the only way you could learn anything about Korea. You wanted to learn about Korea, then you had to go to Korea. You wanted to learn Korean, you had to go out and find someone to talk to. You wanted to learn how to make kimchi or do taekwondo, you had to go out and find Koreans willing to help you. Today, you can do it all from the comfort of your one room. The online oracle provides extensive resources on every facet of Korean culture, so much so that you can learn more today about Korea from a computer in backwater Britain or a rural American retreat than you could glean living here for a year before the invasion of the internet. And for every foreigner arriving on Korean soil, a corresponding blog is birthed to swell the already bloated clogosphere. Learning Korean is the quickest way to sully your relationship with Korea. I'm not really happy living anywhere in the world where I don't have to make an effort to learn what is going on around me, because it's easier to vet the information I upload. Back in Britain, I live in a constant state of depression and on a daily basis I'm subject to a plethora of information that I really don't want to process, and which by its very nature is unhealthy. You don't have to seek information out, it finds you, and worse, the bulk of it is rubbish. If it's broadcast in daylight hours or is front page news, it's very often shit, and I have no interest in the intrigues concerning the latest plastic protégés from Pop Idol, the dumbass contestants selected for Big Brother, the royal spongers, football or the plots of stupid soaps. It's fantastic when I go back home, as I have no idea who new celebrities are, and besides, many will have disappeared by the end of the year. I lived in Germany between 1976 and 1986, and was telly-less, and besides gaining a black belt in Taekwondo, when I came home to headlines announcing who shot JR, had to ask who he was. A great wodge of what constitutes news is newsless shite which cascades into your brain like spam. If people treated that organ, the complexity of which potentially separates us from lower primates, as they do their computers, with upgrades, antivirus and spam devices, society would be much nicer. Do you lower your firewall, terminate your antivirus facilities and start downloading everything online? Of course not. But that's what many of us do with our brains, and much of it can't be avoided. Living in a country where you do not speak the language fluently is one step away from living in a mountain temple. It's shocking I had to be told there had been a tsunami in Japan and an earthquake in New Zealand, and natural disasters don't depress me like man-made ones. But on the other hand, my brain hasn't been polluted with rubbish about royal weddings or the obnoxious habits of celebrities. And you can certainly give vent to your creative juices. For the last few years, I've had to construct an understanding of the world beyond my little nirvana. from fragmented evidence. Like an historian of ancient history, I piece together a narrative constructed from isolated words I've understood or images I've seen. When I originally saw a clip of what I now know as a Japanese tsunami, the TV was in a restaurant and there was no audio, I thought it was a graphic for the 24-hour StarCraft channel. I could certainly go online and access information, but choose not to, as once you open yourself up to external content, it quickly overwhelms you. Ignorance really is enjoyable, and I am infinitely calmer in my little bubble than I would be by allowing the world's dirty realities to rape my noggin. Not only would fluency in Korean make it possible to be spammed and hacked, but it would take all the fun out of life's little excursions. I remember the time when most restaurants lacked English translations and often had no pictures. Ordering meals by pointing was fun. Bus terminals with no English, that was a challenge. By all means learn Korean to order a pizza or tell the taxi driver where to take you, but much more than this will quickly curdle your Korean sojourn. Okay, I do speak a fair amount of Korean and put much effort into learning it, but you either have to be very gifted at languages or have been here for a very long time to actually be able to speak fluently. So, unable to understand anything but bits and bobs from the fast-paced gabble on Korean television and conversations overheard, living in Korea equips you with one enormous firewall. Not one megabyte of unwanted information enters my brain's processing centre uninvited or unprocessed. Obviously then, the internet has to be shunned, though it's useful in emergencies and for smoothing out potential problems. However, using it to research where you should go, how to get there, what to expect, and equipping you with opinions before you've even decided where to go, is a little like substituting reading the back page of a book for actually reading the book itself. And the problem with computer technology is that it permits you to lead almost an identical life to the one you would have had back home. Yes, even now I am doing exactly the same as I would be doing back in the UK, basically sitting at a computer screen, and most of the entertainment it provides, in the form of music and film, is identical. So vast are the tomes of information on Korea that very little remains mysterious, bizarre, or strange. Information technology has helped demystify the Korean experience and severely shorten its potential to engage or entertain us. Mobile phones are just as bad, and owning one simply means that every Weigugin you meet gets added to your address book, and as they do, your social life begins to develop, which disproportionately involves fellow Westerners. Most Westerners, though there will be exceptions, only need a mobile so they can chat with their Western mates and book trips to ESL tourist destinations. As for the Weigugin effect, blame it on EPIC, English Program in Korea. The sharp increase in the number of English-speaking foreigners now living in Korea has helped destroy the intense interest Koreans once held in us. I knew more Westerners in the area in which I live 10 years ago, when they were a handful, than I do now, despite their comprising a small army. At one time, seeing a Westerner was so rare you stopped and talked. Today, there are not only more Westerners, but more Westerners married to Koreans, or with a Korean boyfriend or girlfriend. There are even Western children in some of my local Korean middle schools. And I know it's mean, but whenever I meet an EPIC teacher, I silently curse, because it's predominantly their invasion which has turned us from objects of fascination and intrigue into ones boring, mundane, and general. We were special until EPIC arrived, and now one has been stationed in every school, coffee shop and burger bar. There isn't a single student who has never met a foreigner. Knowing a couple of fellow countrymen or women is good for your mental health, but getting pally with hordes of them is a bad idea. Whenever foreigners hook up in droves, you can guarantee the conversation will become anti-Korean and gravitate towards how crappy it is working in Korea, which for many it is, but those of us with good bosses or plastic professorships don't want reminding. Technology and the EPIC invasion now means Korea attracts ESL tourists, seeking the Korean package experience. Many Weigugin now come here not to experience Korea and its culture, but to basically do exactly the same sort of things that can be done on the Costa del Sol. With a pack of mates in your mobile address book, all Weigugin, it won't be long before you're either returning home or looking for another location to provide that unique experience.